Hi everyone, delighted to see you all. I'm Katerina. I'm a research associate at Harvard Medical School. Can you hear me? Yeah. And I work with mobile clinics. There's one mobile clinic at Harvard Medical School, and then we have a network of mobile clinics called Mobile Health Map. And we're going to talk today about a new tool we have for frontline programs to assess their public health quality. So I guess I'd love to find out a little bit more about the experience we have in the room. So who has had experience of being involved in a program that delivers services to underserved populations? Fantastic. Who has been involved in a project delivering prevention to underserved in general? Fantastic. So essentially, this tool is for you.
I'm just going to go through. I have no financial disclosures to make. So first of all, I'm just going to spend a bit of time talking about mobile clinics. Has anyone worked for a mobile clinic? Fantastic. Which one was it?
It's called Mommobile and up in California.
Fantastic.
And delivering maternal maternity services to Latino population and far-working communities.
Oh, it sounds really interesting. So mobile clinics are a fantastic way of healthcare systems really working in the community, providing services in the community. In fact, we've just been selected in Massachusetts as a best practice for that. Some mobile clinics are part of healthcare systems, so a hospital decides they want to have an impact on in the community, they have a mobile clinic. Others are set up because somebody saw a need and they were like, okay, let's go out there and serve the homeless population, and then they make links with the hospital. So it's a very flexible mode of delivery. We think that their mobile clinics are actually underutilized as a public health tool and as a way of reaching underserved populations. And part of that is because there's not enough evidence and research around them. So we've been, at Harvard, we've been developing a project called Mobile Health Map, which there's a website, you can all go to mobilehealthmap.org, and we have the mobile clinics that are operating in the US. We think there's 2,000 across the country. It's also a repository of papers we've written about the clinical and cost impact of the services. And we also have some tools to help mobile clinics increase their value. For example, we have a return on investment calculator. And as part of that, we're working with OASH to look at, can we help mobile clinics enhance their public health quality? So over the past year, we've been working with 5 mobile clinics and experts at various different experts to develop this tool. We've come up with what we call a public health checkup tool. And you all can go and fill it out for your programs, actually, or just take a look at it. It takes 15 minutes to do it. You could take even less if you just kind of read your way through it, or you could spend a good amount of time and use it as a strategic planning tool for your organization. What it does is it goes through the 9 public health aims. So they're the characteristics of a good public health project, basically. And for each one, it will describe it, and then it will go through the characteristics, the different strategies you can use to achieve it. So, for example, we have equity. So if you want to achieve equity, there's various different strategies you can use. This one here, for example, the first one there is making sure your services are affordable to low-income, uninsured, and underinsured. And then we have just simply 2 columns. The first column is you ask to check on what's your current practice. So, for example, your program, I don't know, your program, did it accept insurance, no insurance? Did people, low-income people were able to use it?
Yes, it was pretty much targeted towards farm workers who were very low income. Yeah. But I mean, if they had Medicaid, they could use the service. And the funding came from the federal government, so they rolled to receive service without paying. They couldn't. Most couldn't.
And I think that's the case of mobile clinics in general. Actually, it's mainly low-income people, but that's. So that is, you can check that off as you made your services affordable to a low-income client, and that's a public health strength. And we all know that we're most frontline programs are strapped for cash. We're trying to find ways to communicate our strengths to our funders and other stakeholders, and this is really giving you a language to say, okay, this is one of the things I can share with my funders. The next column is like plan to do more. So there might be things that you'd like to do, but you haven't had or you haven't thought about yet, and you're thinking, is this an area I'd like to improve my service? So, for example, the second one is staff being able to speak the two most common languages. You know, your staff, great, they can speak Spanish, but, you know, Cape Verdean Creole, that no one on the team that actually speaks that. Is that something you want to be, an area where you want to grow? And it's a very simple checklist. It's just a way of finding out where you're at and where you want to go. So the benefits for the frontline program is that it can help you learn the language of public health quality. And it can help you identify your strengths that you can share with your funders, your stakeholders. And then it also helps you think strategically and critically about your organization and what are the quality improvement goals that you might want to undertake. And it's very quick. You can take longer. Some of the programs we tested it with decided they wanted to really use it as a strategic planning tool, and they took a long time going through it carefully, and that was very useful. But other people are like, great, I've done it in 60 minutes, and I'm all set. So I encourage you to go and have a check, look it up. So the other benefits are for people who give grants to frontline programs. That might be federal agencies, it might be foundations. You can share this tool with your program to help encourage them to think critically about their program and where they want to make improvements. And it can help you see, actually, all our programs are doing fantastic in terms of equity. But actually, a lot of them are struggling in another area, like they're struggling to measure their effectiveness. Is there something that I can do as a grant-giving organization to help all my programs do that? So we're just going to now discuss a few of the public health quality strengths of mobile clinics and how this public health checkup tool has been used to help people think through their strengths and quality improvement. And first off, we have Jesse Simmons, who's a data analytics manager for a fantastic foundation in Central Texas called the St. David's Foundation. Thanks, Jesse.
Hello. So I am the data analytics manager, and I think kind of a common theme throughout all of our presentations is how important data is. Data is very tied to quality. You can't really improve something if you're not monitoring it. So a little context about our program and who we are. The St. David's Mobile Dental Program, we're a 15-year-old program. We provide free preventive and restorative dental care to low-income children in Central Texas. And Central Texas is Austin and the five surrounding counties around Austin, Texas. So we recently expanded to 9 mobile clinics. We have over 50 full-time employees, and on a yearly basis, we provide around 16,000 dental visits to low-income children. And our goal is to improve the oral health of low-income children in Central Texas. So we were asked to participate in the public health checkup as they were developing this tool, and we really found it beneficial, and I would encourage anyone who's in any nonprofit organization that provides direct services to take this tool. And it was beneficial because it forced us to ask some really tough questions about quality around our program, not only our current practices, but what our capacity was to continuously monitor quality as defined by this framework. And where we didn't have that capacity, staff expertise, time, resources, was there a way to restructure so that we could tackle quality? If we feel that quality is an important aspect of our program, we need to restructure to monitor it. So I'm going to share really quickly 2 public health strengths of the St. David's Mobile Dental Program, one of which we also identified as a quality improvement goal, a quality improvement project. Okay. So the first one is population-centered. It's pretty basic. Our population is defined by low-income children in Central Texas, so there's a geography around that, our definition. So Austin, like many cities across the nation, is experiencing a lot of change. So we have rapid population growth. There's gentrification happening in East Austin. High property values are forcing low-income families outside of the city limits. All that to say that the low-income neighborhoods that we identified 2 or 3 years ago might not be the same as the low-income neighborhoods that we identify today. So because our program is mobile, that gives us the unique ability to basically pick up our clinic and move with our population. So every year we utilize external data from TEA, Texas Education Agency, to find out where the low-income schools are, where the highest concentration of our population is, so we can bring services to those places. So we identify Title I schools. You probably know what that is, but it's a federal designation where 50% or more of the children are economically disadvantaged. Additionally, we use our internal data at a school level to identify the schools with the poorest oral health indicators. And these are the circles with the points on it, like a star. So there's these clusters of these schools that are not only low income, but they also have poor oral health outcomes. And we've made the decision to go to those schools more often because our internal outcome evaluation of our program showed that the best indicator of making an impact is actually the length of time between visits, as you would expect. So the more often we go, the more impact we can make at that school level on those oral health measures. So to use the language of public health quality, population-centered is a public health strength of our program because we utilize data to identify populations of the greatest needs and to serve our population in the best way. Next is transparency. So transparency is defined by communicating information to all of your stakeholders. And when I think about transparency, it's really moving from collecting data to utilizing data. And that's really hard, as many of you know, to present data in a way that's understandable to the people who need to make the decisions is really hard. So when we discussed in our leadership how we're doing under this indicator of quality, we came to the consensus that it depends on the stakeholder. So we decided that we had made some really great strides of how we utilize data and communicate information internally. And the example is the team dashboard that we use. So that's putting data into the hands of the practitioners, to the people on the ground doing the work to help them monitor their goals, keep their team focused on the mission. So that's one example. But we felt we weren't doing a very good job communicating externally. So we did some research into this, and we found through surveys and focus groups that teachers love us. The students really enjoy coming to the vans. They actually said that seeing their friends go to the vans and come back actually normalizes going to the dentist for them, so we're reducing fears. School administration really liked the reports we give them, the school report cards saying this is what we did at your school, this is how your school did with return rates. Our focus groups with parents of the children we saw revealed that there was still a lot of confusion about who we are and what we are as a program. So that told us that this needs to be a quality improvement goal for us. So the Smile Week is really just the first step in this long-term quality improvement project, and it was a general awareness campaign where we took the vans out. We gave out 15,000 toothbrushes. We talked about, in general, the importance of oral health and then also our role in providing services. The second thing we did is we worked with an outside group to revamp all of our materials, to redesign them to be friendlier for parents, to really tell them the important messages that we wanted them to have. And again, this is a long-term project, and I really feel like at some point we're going to build a component of our program that really focuses on parental engagement, because that's a real challenge for our program. So that's how we've used this tool, and I really encourage anyone else to use this tool as well.
Thank you, Jesse. So we're just going to discuss another couple of public health quality aims. One is being effective. So I work specifically with a family van, the Harvard Medical School mobile clinic that uses community health workers to provide screening and health coaching in the community around chronic disease such as hypertension and diabetes. And we knew, the team knew that from clients' feedback, that clients love it. They seemed to say that it was an important role in them staying healthy, but we didn't know through numbers whether or not we're actually having an impact. As a result of that, the mobile clinic leadership actually brought me in to say, can we do some studies looking at what actually is our impact in terms of data? And we looked at improvements in blood pressure amongst hypertensive regular clients, and we found that on average there was a large reduction in blood pressure, which we then modeled as being associated with a more than a 30% relative risk reduction in stroke and heart attack, which is fantastic. So it's been really great to be able to use data to look at the effectiveness of programs. This is another mobile clinic, also doing fantastic work out of the University of Oregon, the KCI Institute, and they screen for preventable causes of blindness. When they were using this public health checkup tool, they went through and they thought, okay, so in terms of effectiveness, we know that the screening we're doing is effective because it's been shown in other studies to be effective. That's fantastic. But we know we give referrals. We don't actually know when we give a referral whether that person actually ends up with the eye specialist. And we all know there's quite a lot of, there can be barriers between when you receive a referral to go and see someone to when you actually end up in the specialist office, particularly in underserved communities. So they identified that as a quality improvement project, and they've applied for IRB to actually do follow-up with their patients to see how effective that aspect of their intervention is, which is really great. The last public health quality characteristic I'm going to discuss is efficient, and that's mainly just because this mobile clinic operates in Louisiana. Just a shout out to Louisiana. It operates in a very rural area. It provides primary care, and they have actually partnered with their partner hospital to look at how efficient this system is. They looked at 15 uninsured people who were frequent flyers in the emergency department room. So they had uncontrolled hypertension, diabetes. They were frequently showing up in the hospital for very expensive, and emergency department visits are very expensive. And then these guys spent 8 months going to the Health Hub mobile clinic. And they looked at the reduction in emergency department visits over that time. And they costed it out as being $380,000 of savings, which is really great. So I know that you've, pretty much all of you said you were involved in some sort of program that delivers services for underserved populations or prevention oriented. We've just talked a little bit about population centered, transparent, efficient, effective. Can anyone say anything about how their program meets any of those criteria or anything they would like to do more? Your mobile clinic, was it targeting a particular population?
Yes, it was targeting the Latino population, Latino population in Southern Barbara County. It's a huge burn zone area in Florida, and these were women who had very limited access to maternal care, transportation being a major issue. So the model deal was created to bring the services to that population. And as I think about it, we had a second mobile clinic in partnership with St. Vincent's Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida, came out to provide initially tuberculosis services to people on the roof and across the county area in West Florida. And eventually it morphed into a clinic that provided range of prevention and treatment services for farm workers. And these were problems that might have been done. So, that's a good point.
Fantastic. So I mean, a lot of programs are population, and they're really focused on making an improvement for a specific population. That's a really fantastic thing, which you can, and MOA clinics are definitely one example of that. So what we found from our piloting so far is that programs find this a really useful way of thinking about their strengths. For example, we had one federally qualified health center. They just recently amended their mission statement to say, we're not just interested in the health of our individuals, but in our whole community. And this helps them think through what are they already doing, which helps them achieve that, and what are things they would like to do more. Another example is the KCI Institute, who was interested in improving their follow-up. We also worked with the Children's Health Fund, which is a fantastic organization funding 50 mobile clinics. And they provide funding, they also provide technical assistance. And they felt that this tool could be really useful in helping grant-giving organizations tell the story of their programs, but also identify where are the areas that there's a need amongst their grantees, and really create a culture of quality improvement. So our next steps is we're going to pilot this more with mobile clinics. And we're going to work with agencies such as HRSA to identify how this can be used on a federal level. And we really just encourage you to go online and check it out and give us feedback. It's in early piloting stage. Just let us know how this can be of use to you guys. And big thanks to all the MOA clinics that helped us with this, particularly Jesse for coming to present. All our advisors, particularly Peggy and Rohit, and our funders, AMC and TDC. Thank you very much.